or it's no longer a problem to solve. It's no longer a dispute to resolve, but now we got a conflict. And when it's a conflict, you know, the condition is elevated. And what is the focus? This is the focus. Why do you take somebody to court? Because you want to win. Because you want to win. That's why you go to court, because you want to win. You know, folk watch the People's Court and Judge Mathis and all these other, they on there because they want to win. You know, show me the money. I can't grin when my roll is thin. Show me the money. That's why they on there, because they want to win.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Color of Conflict. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Color of Conflict.
Well, look, man, you knew that we had all these people following us. You're responsible to make sure that we got the grub with us. You're responsible to make sure that we got the Kool-Aid with us. And how come you didn't take care of that? See, that's, there you go. That's the attack. All right, see, at level, at code green, you just focus on the problem. No personalities involved, no issues involved. Look, let's just come together. Let's focus on the problem. And so what do we need to do? You know, we need to resolve this. You know, we just need to agree on a solution. All right, plain and simple. What is that? Isn't that what they did? You know, we don't have time to do it this morning, but basically, Jesus told everybody to sit down, and he went and got the little boy, got what he had, and fed him. Problem solved. All right, problem solved. But, you know, sometimes, what if there wouldn't have been, see, what if Jesus wasn't there? And the first 4,500 people got fed. How you think them other 500 going to feel? You got some big problems then. You got murmuring, you got complaining, and you got issues. But the problem was solved because Jesus was there. See, that's why, and you know what, let me put this in. This is free. I'm not going to charge y'all for this one. But that's why you need to bring Jesus into your problems. Right there. I mean, it goes right here. Jesus in all the middle of this problem, and it didn't become an issue. All right? So here, once again, in the body, we have just, all we have is a problem that needs to be solved. And if you come together, reason it through, you can solve the problem, and for the most part, the issue is over, it's done with. Now we're going to step up a little bit. Now see, if I didn't have a black and white printer or a black and white copier, you would see that this is all in color, these codes over there, and you would really be impressed. But that's all right. That's all right. In your sanctified imagination, just picture these colors in your mind. All right? Or like my dad told me when I was growing up and I asked him for a color TV. He said, just put a balloon in front of your eyes. You know? So just use your imagination here. All right. So now we're going to step up to a code blue. And when we move up to code blue, what happens here is that we have a dispute now that needs to be resolved. And there was a couple of passages that I could have selected, but I chose Genesis 13. So if you'll turn back there real quick, Genesis chapter 13. Now it's escalated to code blue. We have a dispute that needs to be resolved. The first one is a problem that needs to solve. Now we have a dispute to resolve. Genesis chapter 13, chapter 13, verse 5. And Lot also, who went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. So you remember Abraham was Lot's uncle, and they had traveled way back from the homeland together. But they each had their own individual flocks and herds. And verse 6 says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Now look at this. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle, or Abram's cattle, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. So here we got this. Now see, in the first issue, what do we have? You know, we just got a problem on the table that we got to deal with. We got to look at this problem. We got to analyze it. We got to figure out what we're going to do. Now we're starting to get people involved. You got a whole group of herdsmen over here for Abram, and you got a whole herdsmen group of herdsmen for Lot, and then you got Abram and Lot, you know, and this sooner or later there's going to be issues between them. But see, Abraham and his name eventually was Abraham, but Abram in his wisdom, what does he say in verse 9? He said, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as cometh unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." So what was that? Problem solved. Conflict resolved. All right, now, Lot, because he had to deal with some other issues later on, he got himself into some trouble. However, this particular issue, which was a code blue, so you know what should have been going on? Code blue, code blue. You know, like this morning, when a brother came up to me, what was the first thing that came to my mind? Code green, code green. So what does that do? That puts you in a mindset of where we need to be moving from here. Instead of, you know, a lot of times, you know, we are reactive, and sometimes we can be proactive. We can catch issues before they even come our way if we just get into this mindset of being proactive to take the initiative and not allow things to end up on our lap. Now, sometimes we can't avoid it, but there are a lot of things that we probably could. So here we have a code blue, all right? And there are a lot of code blues in the body of Christ. You know, people have issues to resolve. Well, let's look at that. Condition, a guarded position. What is the focus? Well, the focus in code green was problem solving. The focus now is self-protection, all right? I got to look out for me. All right, now, I'm still interested in solving the problem, but the focus has shifted a little bit from solving the problem, and I'm not so much willing to put all my energy on solving the problem as I am in making sure that my backside is protected, okay? The action, you know, attacking the problem while protecting self. You know, you still guard it now. Now you're backing up a little bit. You say, well, we got this issue that we need to work on, but, you know, in the back of my mind, how am I going to come out of this, you know, all right? And see, even at this point, the emotions begin to become elevated. Look what it said there. It said what? There was strife. You know, well, what was there before? There was nothing. Just one big happy fellowship. You know, these guys, fellowship. Now, once again, I wasn't there, so I'm just in my sanctified imagination. You know, they're just fellowshipping, getting along. But now the emotional state has elevated a little bit, and there's a little tension between them now. So you can tell when you start moving into code blue, because what happens? Emotions begin to rise a little bit. Well, what is the resolution at this point? Very simple, very simple. Identify the root of the disagreement. And see, once again, you know, I wish I had time. Maybe at some point I'd get into all this in detail. But we do deal with this in a lot of our counseling. Identify the root of the disagreement. Let both parties express their viewpoints. You know, let everybody have their day. Let everybody have their say. Let them say what they got to say. List all possible solutions and then begin to agree upon a solution as to how to work that out. So evidently, as you look at Lot and Abram, they worked on a solution that they both were agreeable to, and it worked out, and they walked away, parted from the table, problem solved. Code blue. Code blue issue. Code green, just a problem that we need to work on. Code blue, a dispute that we got to resolve. Code yellow, according to the government, this is the elevated level of alert. And that is code yellow. Now we got conflict. Now we got conflict. You know, under code green, we had a problem to solve. Code blue, we had a dispute to resolve. Code yellow, we got a conflict to absolve. All right, we got a conflict now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, they're into it now. All right, where before they was touching on it, they was bumping on it, but now they're into it. Code yellow, code yellow. Pastor Glaze, we got a code yellow here. Maybe we're going to start putting lights up in the church, different colored lights. We got a code yellow. Now, I just want to say this before I read this passage, and that is this, that it's not my objective to talk about whether or not to take a brother or sister to court at this point, okay? I mean, I know that that's an issue that is highly debated in Christian circles, whether or not you should take a brother in Christ to court or sister in Christ. That's my point right now, is not that. You know, we can get into that another time. You know, I'm just trying to show you that this is another level of conflict that actually comes between God's people. He says here in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints. So here people were having issues, so serious to the point that they were, instead of coming to the church and resolving the issues, they were actually going to the court. They were going to the unsaved courts to have the issues heard. He says in verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He said, if you're going to judge the world, then you should be able to judge these things that take place in the body of Christ. Know ye not that you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, do you set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church? He says, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. No, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But brethren goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather allow yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brothers. Now look, these saints right here are in conflict now. Or it's no longer a problem to solve. It's no longer a dispute to resolve. But now we got a conflict. And when it's a conflict, you know, the condition is elevated. And what is the focus? This is the focus. Why do you take somebody to court? Because you want to win. Because you want to win. That's why you go to court, because you want to win. You know, folk watch the People's Court and Judge Mathis and all these other, they on there because they want to win. You know, show me the money. I can't grin when my roll is thin. Show me the money. That's why they on there, because they want to win. All right. And so even, it's sad to say, in the body of Christ, the focus now is not even on problem solving anymore. It has elevated to the fact that I'm going to win. You know, you're going to see that I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm going to do everything that I can to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. So the focus now begins to be personal victory. What are some of the actions or the attitudes? You begin to focus on proving a point rather than the problem. You know, you become so intense, you become so consumed with proving your point and letting the other person understand your point. But you know, the thing I found out is, while you have all this energy and all this hype to try to prove your point, you know what the other person has? The same thing that you got. They got the same thing that you. So here, what do you got? You got two people that are trying to win, and guess what happens? Now, this is honest. Guess what happens? Nobody's listening to it. Nobody's listening to anybody. They're not listening to each other. Why? Because they're too busy trying to win. All right? And that happens in the body of Christ. And so you become locked into a position, and whatever it takes, that's what you're going to do to win. You know, you want to walk away, and you want to have your foot on the throat of the other person, and you want them to cry, uncle, or I give. Yeah, that's what you want, all right? And so we see here, this is code yellow. Now, what is a resolution? Now, I spent 3 weeks on this, all right? So if you weren't here and you want to find out, you got to go back and get the tape, all right, or the CD. But I talked about, you got to overcome the flesh. See, when I move from trying to solve the problem to now my only objective is winning, I've let the flesh override me. Now it become now I'm in the flesh, all right? And I need to go back to that message in Galatians chapter 5 that I preached, where it said the works of the flesh. And what did he talk about? He talked about conflict. He talked about divisions. He talked about strife. He said those are all the work of the flesh. The second thing I need to do is I need to work on the spirit of love. And we spent a whole message on that one right there, 1 Corinthians 13, that if you've got agape love, that the God in me, somebody help me, the God in me will not let me hate the God in you. Just won't happen. If I got the love of God in me, will not let me dislike the love of God in you. Just won't happen. All right? So we taught a whole lesson about that on love. And then the final thing is, you probably at this point, because where it's elevated to, you need to seek some outside intervention. All right? You need to seek outside intervention. All right? Now we're up to code orange. And I know I'm moving quick. We're up to code orange. And now, actually what happens is we got cliques that start to develop. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We have cliques that start to develop, all right? Because why? No longer is it, I'm trying to win, you know, because we're past that. But you know what it is now? I'm going to get as many people on my side. I'm going to get as many people sympathetic to my cause as I can, and then we'll approach it from that standpoint. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. He says here, now, and this once again in the church of Corinth, and they had some serious issues here because they were having communion, and the one group of brothers over here, the brothers that had the money, they were eating T-bone steaks, and the brothers that didn't have the money, they were over here, and they were eating bologna sandwiches. And so they say, all the steaks over here and all the bologna sandwiches over here. And they were coming together to celebrate the communion table. And Paul said, man, what in the world is wrong with you people? What, are you crazy? He says in verse 17, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. You're supposed to be coming together for communion, and you're coming together for the worse. He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they who are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, that you are not coming to eat the Lord's Supper. You're coming for other reasons other than to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and one is drunk. All kind of issues around the Lord's table. And so now what happens? There are divisions in the church. And when a problem arises between two saints and it gets to code orange, you know, then at that point, it's all about who's on my side, because then you start taking sides, all right? And what are some of the actions or the attitudes? Personal hurt. See, you know, you in code, what was the code before that? Code yellow, you were too busy trying to win to realize any feelings. Only feelings you had was winning. But now it's moved past that point, and now you're hurt, okay? And so now you do everything you can to avoid the other party. You don't even want to be around. You don't want to see them, all right? And then in this, you start to seek allies. You start to build people on your side. And then what are you doing? You're showing them, well, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Look, let me share a prayer request with you. You know what so-and-so did to me? So now you're trying to get people on your side. Okay, and you're trying to show that the other person is really the problem. And this is where bitterness and resentment come in at code orange. All right, what's the resolution? Basically the same resolution in code yellow. All right, you got to work on the flesh, you got to work on love, and you have to seek some outside intervention, because probably you don't even want to look at the other person. You don't even want to sit down with them. And then finally, code red. Now, I couldn't think of another word. I had a little rhyme going there. I had solve, resolve, absolve, dissolve, and I ran out. So now code red is just character assassination. All right, that's all you're concerned about now is taking this other person down. All right, this is a severe condition, and your focus is to punish or destroy the other party. Look at this. In the name of the Lord. Well, you know what? They're hurting the cause of Christ. Somebody got to deal with them. They're hurting the cause of Christ. And so now, you know, this severe level and actions, feelings of animosity toward the other party, manifestations of ungodly words and actions toward the other party, and then even suspicion. Well, you know what? That person say that they're serving the Lord, but I really doubt whether they're serving. They're serving themselves. They're really not serving the Lord. Look at Philippians as we close here. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was taking the good news and ended up in jail. And there were some people that he had inspired to preach the gospel. But then there were other people that just wanted to see Paul hurt. There were other people that just wanted, they wanted to assassinate his character. They were in a code red. Look at verse 13. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places. See, what is he saying? He said, people knew I was in jail, okay? He said, my bonds are made known in the palace. and in all other places. People knew that I was in jail. He said, verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, look, some brothers see me in jail, and they are excited, and they're going and preaching even harder. And then verse 15, he says, some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So he says some were preaching because they were jealous of him. Verse 16, the one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely. Look at this. Look at this. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Supposing to add affliction. They were out here preaching Christ because they were hoping that the Romans would get more upset. And then when the Romans would get more upset, then they would go back and persecute Paul that much more. And so they were trying to add affliction. They had a vendetta that they were trying to carry out against Paul, and they were doing everything they could to destroy him. They were doing everything they could to assassinate him. And you know what? Eventually they succeeded, because what happened? According to tradition, the Apostle Paul was, not tradition, but the scripture says that he was killed in the Roman prison. All right? So they succeeded in what they were doing. Now, this is my point. My point is today, saints, is that, and we're winding down this series on conflict. I think I got one more message left next week. We're winding down, and I'll move on to something else. We'll be shouting next week. All right. The point is this, that a lot of issues could be handled up front if we handle them the right way. If we handle them with the right spirit, if we handle them, you know, in the way. And see, now look, we spent a whole lesson last week, a whole message last week. We talked Matthew 18. You know, if you got an issue with your brother, we told you how to go and how to resolve that issue. And so God has given us everything in his word to make sure that we handle differences, conflicts, and disputes in the body. And if we let things elevate to higher levels, it's not God. You know, we got to look at us. You know, we got to look at us. And we have to work at, and I hate to be repetitive, but I'm going to say this, that I'm done. The brother I was talking to this morning, I said, brother, that's code green. That's a problem that if you communicate on it right now, everybody gets on the same page, it's not going to be an issue. And you know what? A lot of stuff starts out just like that. And because we mishandle stuff, and because we don't deal with it correctly, it gets out of control. And, you know, thank God that in my years as a pastorate, I've seen very few code reds, but I have seen a lot of code yellows and code oranges. All right. So we're gonna try to minimize those also. But you know, this thing is all about Jesus anyways. It's not about us. It's about Christ. And if I'm serving Christ, then that's my focus. And you know, when people cause me to be upset, or, you know, I have differences, then I work through it because of the cause of Christ. And that's why I'm here. That's why we preach. That's why we serve. That's why we have church. And according to Sister Cindy, that's why we go to work, to be a witness for Christ and allow Christ to be manifested in us. And you know, one of the things that Saint Augustine, he was one of the greatest minds of the early centuries, and people tried to persuade him with arguments why Christianity was the only way. No argument persuaded him. His mother, who was a Christian, tried to witness to him and talk him into become a Christian. Nothing persuaded him to become a Christian. But finally, he got saved and became one of the greatest leaders in the church. And you know what he said? He said, all those other things didn't move me. He said, but when I saw the way that they loved each other, that touched my heart. When I saw the way that they loved each other, that touched my heart. We can bump heads without causing injury. We can bump heads without causing damage, because we've been anointed with the oil of God, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Benefits of Conflict. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Color of Conflict, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Color of Conflict. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Color of Conflict, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.